Well, take your Bible and go to the 5th chapter of the Revelation. And in a moment, I'm going to read a couple of verses. But I'll remind you of a story I've shared with you again months and months ago. The 15th century in Nuremberg, Germany. There was a family with 18 children. It's like being the mother to a volleyball team, all right? The Dürer family, 18 kids. Right in the middle of the 18 were two boys named Albert and Albrecht. Both of them had dreams of being artistic, using their hands to paint, do sculpture. They wanted to go to art school, couldn't afford it. So those two boys cooked up a scheme. Said, tell you what we'll do. We flip a coin. The winner chooses, and if he decides to go off to art school, the brother will stay back with the father and work in the iron ore mines, dig for 3 years, and pay the way for the brother to go to art school. And in 3 years, when the brother gets a degree and gets a job, he will come back and allow the loser to go to art school. So they flip the coin. Albert lost. Albrecht went off to German art school. Quickly, his gift developed. He was not just a painter, but would do wood carvings, some with stone. After a year, he was already selling, making some money. His brother, all the while, digging in the mine, sending the money to pay the tuition month by month for the brother. 1 year turned into two, two into three. And that third year, Albrecht really hit his stride. He was making a great living. He came back home. The town knew of him and celebrated his work. And as he got home, they had the party, and finally in the afternoon he went down to the house and said, all right, Albert, you paid my way. Now it's your turn. Albert began to weep. He said, I can't go. He said, what do you mean you can't go? He said, for these 3 years I've been digging in these mines to make a way for you to go. He said, most every finger I've got's been broken. I've lost feeling in some. I can't hold a brush. I can't really use a tool to do fine work. I would want to, but I just can't go. You see, Albert went down into the mines for Albrecht. If you take your phone or some device and do a search and type in praying hands, you'll find a famous painting. Albrecht Dürer did that. Tradition says that he painted his brother's hands, those praying hands. If you find that somewhere, you'll know it because we've all seen it painted, copies of it. Those hands are kind of gnarled in that original that you'll find, and he's praying. Somebody went down into the mines for you. You wouldn't be where you are now if someone had not gone into the mines for you. I'm standing right here today. having gotten out of my college and seminary work debt-free because my parents went into the mines for me. Every semester we'd go home, we'd bring chicken and beans back from the store. We'd freeze it, we'd eat on it all semester. My mom and daddy had me on the corporation of the store, and I got the Colonial Bread check every quarter. Day of rebate in the grocery store. That was my pay. Liz worked a little bit, or she worked for a little bit. She worked a whole lot, but she made a little bit. I got through because my parents and my wife went into the mines for me. Somebody went into the mines for you. You say, oh, no, 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 preacher. I'm self-made. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. Well, you wouldn't even be breathing life if somebody hadn't given life to you. Someone into the mines. I want to challenge you. Who are you going into the mines for? Who do you go into the mines for? Who is your Albrecht that you're digging for them? I'm telling you, if you're going to do it, you got to be a leader. You got to be a friend. You got to be a communicator. You got to be a provider, an encourager, a prayer partner. You got to be a servant. But tonight I want to focus on the one who went into the mines for all of us. It's in Revelation 5. Verse 11 and 12. John is in heaven. He's having a vision, and he's been told, come up here. And he begins to see the one that went to the mines for all of us. It's why we have a cross on top of this building. It's why we have a cross in that window right there. And John said in Revelation 5, verse 11, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. There are the mines. The Lamb that was slain. Jesus went into the mines for you. He went to the cross. He dug the iron ore of salvation for you. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Friend, he died for you. Why'd they stretch him out on that? For you. He took your sin. He died in your place. It's called a substitutionary atonement. Melissa, I've never understood volleyball substitution. I don't know the game very well. I understand it better than I do hockey substitution. You just jump on and jump off and in, but they rotate in a certain way, and I keep counting, and I'm just not sure who's supposed to go in. I don't even know enough to holler at her to tell her who to put in. But I know this. Jesus took our place. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And because he went into the mines and he was slain, and because he obtained our salvation for us, then he is worthy to receive seven things tonight. They're listed in verse 12. Power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. So tonight, I want us to look at those seven words for just a moment. Here's what Jesus, he went into the mines for you. You ought to thank him. I've been studying through the Revelation, as you know, and I'm preaching there, and for the beginning next Sunday, for the following six Sundays, I'll be there 6 weeks in a row, and I will finish up those seven great eschatological coming events. We'll look at tribulation next Sunday. And I've been reading through, but this text verse just pierced my heart about Jesus being slain, going And I began to think on all those people that have blessed me, and nobody's done it more than my wife, and nobody's done it more than my parents. And so I wrote my parents a letter last week. 92, 87, they are. I call them and talk every few days, but I sat down and I just wrote a letter. Now, I'll never know. I will never know if they got it, because I have been birthed by two people of very few words. I'll probably get home and it'll probably be stuck on the refrigerator or stuck back in the book. I'll probably find it someday, but I won't ever hear from it. Our family doesn't talk like that. My wife's had to teach me how to do that a little better. But I just sat down, Mom and Dad, thank you. And I just began to list the things they'd done for me that I could remember. I thanked them for making me work in a grocery store. I learned to pastor a Baptist church working in the produce department of a grocery store. If you can sell a woman a half a head of lettuce, you can be her pastor. I'm just telling you, you can. I remember the day that as the lady came in, she wanted a half a head of lettuce. I thought, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in all my life. I said, well, I just stomping, spitting. I walked back in the back room, and I said, there's a crazy woman out here who wants a half a head of lettuce, and I'm going to cut this. And I cut it in half, and I turned around, and she was standing right there. I looked at my father, and I said, and this lovely lady wants the other half of that head of lettuce. If you can sell a lady a half head of lettuce, here to tell you, you can pastor a Baptist church. You just have to learn. It's people business, and you have to learn to do it. You're not always right. You don't always do it right. They made me work in that store, and I learned a lot. And I thanked them for that. I thanked them for making me burn the trash every Tuesday and Friday. I hated that with a passion. I hated that. I hated doing stock. I didn't like carrying out groceries. I didn't like any of that. I thanked them for working 6 days a week, 12 to 15 hours a day, provide my way. Now, I made money going to college. I went 2 years on a scholarship and a half. So I paid my tuition, plus I got a half of my tuition in cash, and I spent it. Saved some of it for the last 2 years. When I got to seminary, they helped me immensely. They went down into the mines for me, and I just wrote and thanked them. You ought to write and thank somebody this week for going down to the mines for you. Some of you would say, well, they're dead and gone. It's not too late to write a letter. It'll bless you. But I tell you, the greatest love letter you ought to write is the love letter to Jesus. Because he went down into the mines, and he's worthy to receive seven things. So I want you to look at these with me. I want to teach you seven Greek words tonight, all right? Give you seven Greek words. Some of you know some of these words, but some of you don't. And I want you to look at these. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ready? Say ready. Here we go. Number one, he is worthy to receive power. It is the word dunamis. Dunamis. We get our word dynamite out of that. What that simply says, he's worthy of all power. Jesus can do anything. I'm here to tell you, if he can save Britain's life, he can do anything. If he can raise money, he can do anything. If he can grow a church, he can do it. He's got all the power in the world. When you think you are powerless, run to Jesus, because he is all dynamite. Dynamite. Dunamis. He received all the power. Hallelujah for the power of Almighty God. Number two is the word riches. Riches. Now, the Greek word for riches is the word plutos. Plutos. We get plutocrat from that. Plutocracy comes out of that word. It means an abundance. It means plenty. It means to have influence. A plutocrat is the one. He will move something. He will take it where it may not should go, but he has the power to make it go there. Often that word is used in a negative context. Here it is used, of course, very positive with the Lord Jesus. He has all the influence and the power in the world. He is the one with all abundance. I'm telling you, friend, you need to run to Jesus if you're looking for the sufficiency in your life. Don't be looking around. Look up. He has all the riches, all the plutos that you need. He is worthy of having it. Number three, Not only does he have the power, dunamis, not only does he have the riches, plutos, he has then the wisdom, and that's our little word, sophia. Sophia means wisdom, to be wise. As you've heard me, if those of you hear me preach very much, then you know my favorite word in the English language is sophomore. Because the front end of sophomore is sophia, wisdom. And the back end of sophomore is the word moros, idiot. A sophomore is a wise fool. A 10th grade student thinks they know more than anybody on the planet. They're a wise moron. That's what that word means. Well, the front end of that, Jesus has all wisdom. He knows everything. Let me tell you, friend, he knows who you're going to marry before you find them. He knows where you're going to work before you get the job. He knows where you're going to go to school before you sign up. So why not ask him? He has all wisdom. Wisdom. Why does he have it? Because he's worthy. Because he's like a lamb slain. He died before the foundation of the earth. He has all power, he's worthy of it. He has all riches, he's worthy. He has all wisdom, he knows all. Number four is the word might. This is the hardest word to pronounce. I-S-C-H-Y-S. Ixus. Ixus. It is our word might. That's a little different than the word power, but he is worthy of all force. He has all ability, the capability. When you say, I can't, cry out to the Lord because he can. Amen. I called my mother yesterday and we were talking. Rachel, you in here? Rachel, come in. My grandchildren not in here, are they? Okay, I can tell this story then. Wednesday night, our grandchildren were in a little choir that was supposed to get up and talk or sing in Wednesday night supper. And little Catherine froze. She got tired, she cried. She just wasn't doing it. And she stopped. Of course, Rachel was going to make her do it, and then she and her husband kind of had a difference of opinion about what they ought to do, and I got up and left. Amen. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I didn't fall off no turnip truck yesterday. I got out of that, all right? But she did, and so I was telling Mother, because she always asked about the kids, and I was telling her about young Catherine having a hard time, and I said, you know, you just have to learn that when you're not able, God's able. She was scared, but she had to learn. I said, Mama, I just looked at her and I remembered I was an 8-year-old boy. The first time in vacation Bible school when they used to line us up. I'm talking about when Bible school was hard, not like it is today. You know, everybody gets a paper now in Bible school. It's one of them everybody gets a trophy kind of deal. I mean, when I went to Bible school, you quoted verses. I mean, you stood up and we did joy. That's the way we did it. Yeah, it's for 2 weeks, that's right, it's 10 days. It wasn't no 4.5-day business. And I remember I stood up there and they gave me a verse and they said, whoever wants to be first, be first. And that's all I had right there. I couldn't even remember the first word. That's all I did right there. I just went blank. As that carpet, I went blank. And I remember, I told Mother the other night, I said, you know, Mom, the only thing, I don't even remember the verse, I just remember I couldn't remember it, but I do remember the prayer I prayed when I backed up. I did. I prayed in my heart, and I said, Lord Jesus, I promise you, I will never talk in church again. Be careful what you pray, amen, I guarantee you. Boy, the Lord chuckled at that. What I had to learn is it was not my ability, it was his ixos. It was his might, his capability. You don't have the ability to do what God will call you to do. He called you beyond your ability unto his capability because he's the only one worthy. Power and riches and wisdom and might. Fifth word is honor. It's the word tima, T-E-M-A, tima. That is value. Speaks of money. It speaks of payment. The value. Jesus is valuable. Sometimes we don't feel like we're worth too much. We don't feel very valuable. Kind of mess up and you feel like, well, I'm not, you know, they don't need me. It's easy. You can almost become pitiful in your pity. Some of us overvalue ourselves. We really need to run to Jesus in. But there are times when we all get down and just discouraged. Did you hear our new friend Jeremiah Johnston this morning say that at any time 25% of pastors are in depression? That's what he said, 25%. I've had days where I was discouraged. I guess I may have had, I don't remember. I couldn't diagnose myself as ever being depressed. I may have been. I don't remember. I don't think I am today. Not there. I tell you, my wife struggled with that big time before we came here. And she still struggles from time to time. Has to deal with that. Nobody ever knows it because she masks it so well. What happens is you begin to think you're not very valuable. Before we came here, the reason we turned this church down three times because we were walking through a valley. And this church was walking through a valley. They had to deal with a staff member, and we had to deal with a family member. We went to a counselor. Why, we didn't go. Liz went. They asked me to come, made me come. The counselor called me and said, I need you to come. I said, I ain't coming. I said, ain't nothing wrong with me. She's the one who's got the depression, not me. They said, that's why you need to come. I said, well, I'm not coming in the front door. I said, I'll go up the back fire escape and come in the back door where you take the trash out, but I ain't going in the front door, no psychologist's office. Somebody see me going in there, I ain't going to put up with it. So I didn't have any pride at all. Shoot, man, I was full of it. I went in, I sat down, I listened for a while. What we both had to learn is our value is not in the work we do. My wife was working herself silly. Your value is not in the work you churn out, your value is in God made you who you are. And when you learn your value is in Christ, then your work goes off the chart. Because you're not working to make yourself look like something. You're working because you are something. You're God's child. And you're safe and secure in that. And there is the tima. He's worthy of all of that because you run to Him. He's worthy of power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory. Every singer knows this particular word. It's the word doxa. We get the word doxology from it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The doxa. This is simply praise. He's worthy of all praise. You like to be praised? I've been praised and I've been cussed. I'd rather be praised. Amen? Be very careful that you do not live for praise. Listen to this. You ever heard of Leonard Sweet? He's an old writer. His mama's name is Mabel. The reason Leonard Sweet was such a good theologian is Mabel taught him at home, not because he went to a good seminary. Mabel said this, Leonard, you can either live your life to be praised by people or used by God. You must choose. That's a mouthful. Leonard, you can either live your life to be praised by people or used by God. You choose. Amen. Glory, doxa. It's not our glory, it's His glory. So we don't live for what men do for us. We live for pleasing unto God. Sometimes that costs you with men, but I'll tell you most of the time, when you live to please God, folks that love Him will say, well done. Amen. Doxa. Jesus is worthy. Give Him all the glory. Power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and eulogia. This is my favorite word of this list. It's two words here. It's EU and logos. Logos, what's that mean? Word. Logos is word. EU is good. It's a good word. When you go to a funeral and somebody gives a eulogy, EU, that's the good. The logos is the word. When they give a eulogy, they give a good word. We had a funeral here Friday morning. Sheila Binion. Lord, what a lady. I love Miss Sheila. Was just a drunk and awful, godless. God saved her, cleaned her up, made her a great trophy of grace. I preached her funeral here. And then you ladies were here. You heard those people standing up one after another when I said, somebody stand and give praise. And what they did, they eulogized her. They spoke a good word and a good word and a good word and a good word and a good word. That's blessing. Somebody speaks a good word about the living God. That's the way you bless his holy name. You speak a good word for him. He's worthy of a good word. Now, we ought to give a good word to people that we like. You ought to write that letter I talked about. Somebody's gone into the mines for you. Give them a blessing. What's a blessing? A blessing is a eulogia. It's a good word. Speak a good word unto them. Where are you? Were two of our singers, they had to slip out, I guess. I got a note from one of them's daddy, one of the singers that was up here. And I got a great letter, email, from a father. Saw him down at Warrington today, shook my hand. I said, you the guy wrote me that? He said, yes, sir. He said, I'm a preacher too, and I just know that a preacher needs a good word every now and then. He used the word. He said, I know they need a blessing, a good word, a eulogia. He was using the word. Man, he wrote me a great email this week. Just thanked me and lied and told me good stuff about me. And I just took it by faith and believed it all. Amen in Jesus' name. And he was just trying to say a good word. Have you told him, have you given anybody a good word today? Just say thank you and bless you. That's what Stan was trying to do over here, just give a good word. It was a blessing. They gave a blessing and then he gave a blessing back. Eulogia. Jesus is worthy of blessing. Bless his holy name. Why do we give him all power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing? Because he went down into the mines for us. That's what he did. He went into the mines for us. Amen. He went into the mines. His old hands got scarred. Man, did you see that nail that Jeremiah put up on that screen this morning? Went through that ankle. And then fish hooked on the other end. They couldn't get it out. That's what he did for you. They nailed him to the cross. You ought to bless his name. That's when he went into the mines. Oh, he did it. He did it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did it. He did it. He did it. In verse 13 then, if you got your Bible open, in every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be blessing, there's our word again, and honor, there's our word again, and glory, there's our word again. And then one more, they added one in verse 13, dominion. Dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. Have you ever given Jesus dominion? Have you given him dominion? That means he is the dominant one. He is the king. He's the Lord. You crown him. Crown him. Crown him king. You give him dominion. He's worthy. He's worthy. You give him dominion. You make him number one. Not two, not three, not in the top ten. He's number one. He gets dominion in our life. He's worthy. Why? Because he's a lamb slain. He died for us.